Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was the chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 13-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Drinking Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Wine.
Well, that song just gets me going in the morning. I need to have that as my alarm on my phone. So, good morning, everybody.
So you're liking that version better than the original, are you?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like
Hard
it.
To beat the killer, man.
That's
Jerry
it.
Lee Lewis.
I know it.
You finally caught up with me, though.
Yeah. Welcome to the Sip and Chew Show on this Sunday morning on FM Talk 106.5.
Steamy.
It's going to be a steamy. Yes, it is going to be a steamy day.
We are in the dog days of summer. But we made it to the middle of August, so you know mm-hmm. what that means.
Pert near football season.
Well, yeah, that. But only 2 months of summer left.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the midpoint of summer. It's all downhill
from
here.
That's right. I remember.
But yeah, back to your thing. There will be football on our TVs next Saturday.
How about that?
That's awesome. I don't get the week zero thing. Just call it week one. If it's week zero, then those games shouldn't count.
Yeah.
You just said zero. Zero yeah. plus zero, still zero.
But it just, like I said, football, when you see a kickoff on TV or whatever, mm-hmm. it's like you feel like a briskness in the air. And
yeah.
it starts it's feeling
a magical
cooler already.
Feeling.
Yeah.
Just like the first time that a 6-year-old visits Disney World.
There you go. Yeah. That's just like that.
Yeah.
Just like
it's
that.
Just an amazing feeling. And the weekend after is the big weekend of college football. Because mm-hmm. it starts on Friday night. Auburn plays at Baylor. And then there's another game, so a good intersectional matchup. And then Saturday kicks off. Y'all get to go slaughter Florida State to start the year. Trying to find somebody from Tallahassee, but we've already got somebody coming on next week to talk about Baylor, so I don't know if we'll have time for somebody to talk about where to go in Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all are going to Florida State, and you know they had a fantastic 2-10 season last year at Florida State, and they think that hiring Gus Malzahn as their offensive coordinator is going to help somebody that
you
the game
know.
Caught up to him 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When you don't innovate, defensive coordinators figure you out. And he got to Central Florida. He had the same problems there, too. They only run two routes. It's either mm-hmm. a screen behind the line of scrimmage or a bomb. The rest of the passing tree is just useless.
Yeah.
And that caught up to Gus.
It will catch up with you.
Yeah. He was officially fired from Central Florida, but you don't go from being the head coach to the offensive coordinator at another bad program unless they encouraged you to go find a new job.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I am excited we're going to have these food, these people in that you're lining up for us to talk about the food in that area, in that town, and where to go.
Really, Tallahassee's the only interesting location on Alabama's schedule this year that's different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same week that Auburn's.
Well, you know,
be
you're going to have all the major chain stuff, you know, in the Tallahassee area.
Man, really, if y'all are going to a road game to support your team, don't eat at a Chili's or something like that. Sure, Chili's is fine, but if you're going there, experience what that community has to offer. I love going to college football games because all these college towns are cool places.
Mm-hmm.
Norman, Oklahoma is cool.
Yeah.
You know, Oxford, Mississippi is cool. Now, granted, Tuscaloosa, the city, not cool at all. But the University of Alabama campus and that little area around it, wonderful.
A lot of restaurants.
Yeah.
A lot of little restaurants.
And, of course, the greatest road destination in all of college football is a Vanderbilt game because you're almost guaranteed to win unless you're Alabama or Auburn last year. And you've got one of the best, not just food scenes in America, but music scenes in America as well. So Nashville is always every SEC team's favorite road destination because there's so much to do in Nashville right by the campus of Vanderbilt. I mean, you're walking distance to everything.
You know, Nashville has the largest Alabama alumni group in the nation there.
And you know what? There are more Auburn graduates in Nashville than any other school other than Vanderbilt. There's a big, that's why.
Well, you know what?
Well, I just, this point that I, it's because, well, think about it. When you are the cultural center of the South, people are going to gravitate there no matter where their degree is from.
Yeah.
Just like Atlanta is a corporate center, they're going to get people from all, and which is why, for the most part, Atlanta is a city with no personality. I know there are neighborhoods within Atlanta and areas that have distinct personalities, but as a city, it just doesn't
They've eaten up all the small towns around them. They've just swallowed them and made them part of Atlanta.
But there's so much homogenization going on that it doesn't feel like a southern city.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like a northern city. It doesn't really feel like a midwestern city. It just feels like a city. You know, but like I say, individual neighborhoods or areas of the city will still be just brimming with personality. But as a city as a whole, not a whole lot of personality in Atlanta. Houston, personality. Nashville, personality. Yeah, Dallas. Arrogance is a personality, Steve. Dallas counts.
I guess it's all on perception. But I was going to ask you on the Talladega. Why not? Did you say Talladega or Tuscaloosa? I'm sorry. Why does it not have a personality?
The city of Tuscaloosa is the most crime-ridden city in the state of Alabama in the South, and has been called the Detroit of the South. They have a really, really astronomically high violent crime rate in the city of Tuscaloosa, which is not the same thing as the university. University has its own police department, and quite frankly, the Tuscaloosa Police Department spends more time protecting the campus than they do the city, because that's where everyone's focus is, because that's the moneymaker.
You were talking food, maybe, but okay.
No. Now, Tuscaloosa's got some good food. That's the home of Dreamland.
Chuck's.
Yeah.
Chuck's Fish House.
Yeah. And also, there is a fast food joint there called Taco Casa that is just so good. And it is hard for people to go through Tuscaloosa and not stop and eat at this fast food joint. It's really good, Taco Casa is. I have friends that when they go up there will bring me something back from Taco Casa.
Wow.
And it's a cool, and I made a trip up there a few years ago. I went to go hike up at the Sipsey Wilderness and cut through Tuscaloosa. And I said, I'm going to go try Taco Casa. I've had stuff brought to me 4 hours later, and it was good, so I went and had it fresh. And didn't realize when I pulled into town I was wearing my Auburn jacket. No one said a word, and it was surprising. But honestly, I don't think the people in the city of Tuscaloosa care much about the university. It's just, you know, there are good people that live in Tuscaloosa, but most...
Kind of like going to Orlando.
Yeah, they don't care about Disney World.
Yeah.
All he knows, it's a
paycheck. Well, you know, I live here near the beach. I never go to the beach.
Right, exactly.
I never go to the battleship.
Yeah.
I never go to Battleground Gardens.
Oh, I go to the battleship.
Well, I go to the beach, baby. Yeah. Trust me.
Well, I love some good eating at the beach.
The only time to be at the beach is when the sun is down, because when it's up, it's just a miserable place to be.
It depends on which beach.
I like the afternoons. And
the ones with sand. I'm not crazy about the ones with sand and heat.
There's a place in Orange Beach called The Guff.
Oh, now that's my idea of going to the beach.
Yes. And you just sit there underneath those palm trees.
On a couch.
Just
sipping
a
drink.
Breeze always blowing there.
Maybe a little grilled fish.
They got great tacos.
Mm-hmm. Watch the scenery you can't get involved with.
Mm-hmm. You can't.
I don't want to.
More importantly, they don't want to get involved with us.
Just watch the scenery. Just watch the scenery. And watch the boats pass in and out.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're right there at Perdido Pass. Mm-hmm. And
Johnson's Beach. I love Johnson's Beach.
Yeah, you got the jetties over there on the other side, and you see some shore divers from time to time out there. Yeah, the Gulf is my idea of going to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do that. I've always thought the beach is fantastic if you could remove that patch of desert between the parking lot and the water.
Wow.
Yeah. I just don't care for walking on sand.
251-343-0106 is the
phone line.
The phone line and the text line that you want. And right now, we got somebody. I see the lights flashing on it. I bet it's Danny Calumet.
I bet as well.
Yeah.
Mike Bailey, Stuart Reb Donald, devoted to the complete gastronomic experience.
I want a big butter and egg man.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, righty, we're back, and I think we got Mr. Danny Calumet on the line. I hope he's got some good stuff to talk about.
Because we're pulling out of discussion topics.
Well, guys, you know, I'm always interested in how I get introduced or what the segue is. And I'm proud to say that this segue is absolutely everything you guys just talked about hating. I'm at the beach. I'm cooking.
I hate the beach. I just don't care for the sand.
Well, I got my feet in the sand right now, and the sun's beaming down. And I'm also emulating the lyrics to my favorite Sheryl Crow song. There's nothing like a beer buzz early in the morning. So,
Well, this ought to be a fun segment of radio.
So anyway, I'm glad to know that both I am kind of sort of a Dreamland fan and Chuck's Fish. So there's something I can be I can like about Tuscaloosa too. So you guys are
Some cool places out there. There's a place called a Houndstooth. Kind of a legendary haunt up there, and their BLT includes as many strips of bacon as the University of Alabama is currently claiming as national championships.
Wow.
So right now it's 18 strips of bacon. NCAA says 16.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Well, better than that sandwich shop in Auburn. It's only got two strips of bacon in it.
It's five now. Five strips of bacon.
What you got this week, Danny?
Oh, so Saturday we're at the wharf. It promised to be another great day. We're doing a World Food Championship tailgate challenge. It's going to be a cook-off focused around your best tailgate sandwich item. So it's going to be, you know, and we got a wide leniency on what is a sandwich. So you guys, we've got 16 teams signed up. We've got spots for a couple more. You want to come show us what your sandwich dish is? There'll be a People's Choice competition as well. The winner of the competition dish gets a golden ticket to the 2025 World Food Championships in sandwich. That's going to be in Indianapolis the week of the October 16th through the 19th or 16th through the 20th, something like that. So they moved it to Indy this past year, and it's just that Indianapolis really wanted the tournament. They really worked for it, and they've done a great job of hosting it. And I was talking to one of the organizers. The best thing about it, the second year is they know what worked that they can keep, and they know what they need to enhance and kind of fix. So it's going to be a great event.
Well, Danny,
we're expecting it. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was watching this new Gordon Ramsay show, kind of like MasterChef. I think it's called Top Level Chef or something. And it's actual professional chefs. And one of the guys that made it to the final was a World Food Championship competitor. I forget the name. Young man. I think he had won the sandwich category a year or two ago.
Yeah, so sandwiches is an interesting category. There's some guys that do it. Well, you know, that's what Butch was competing in.
Yeah.
A couple of years back in Dallas.
Yeah, I competed in it one year. I was in seafood, but I did a sandwich. Yeah. I did a sandwich.
Well, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yes.
We're counting that as a sandwich. If you want to put two pieces of bread and deliver us a nice hot dog.
So open-faced roast beef sandwich, you agree, is a sandwich, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, Kentucky Hot Brown is an open-faced sandwich. It's a sandwich. So pizza is a sandwich. It's an open face sandwich.
I close mine like a sandwich.
Yeah.
Well, I fold it like a sandwich.
One of the things that we challenge our chefs to do, and this is also on the judging side of it that Mike knows, is they have to turn in a description of their dish. Now, it's not a recipe or ingredients list, but it's we want them to tell the judges, here's what I'm shooting for. This is what I want to be held accountable for. This is why my entry is the best and deserves the World Food Championship. And so we get some, I don't want you to tell me this is grandma's favorite sandwich meat. Tell me why your sandwich is the best, why it's the best entry. And so we get some good descriptions, but we want these chefs to know that they're going to be held accountable for what they turn in. Mm. And we, you know, they don't have to be, I mean, we've had home chefs cook, and we've got Megan Bratton won a couple of years ago, and she was basically a home chef, but now she's blossomed into, she's doing this more and more for World Food Championship. She's already won a ticket to go back next year, go back this year, another category. She's posting all kind of fabulous recipes that she's cooking. So she's blossomed out from being just a, quote, home chef. And then we've got, Chef Fletch from Island House is going to be competing. We've got the grill sergeants are going to be there. We got a slew of folks are going to be there. So Tacky Jacks is going to be there. It's going to be a great list of restaurants and all that. So it's going to be fun.
Oh, right.
And I got it. So tickets to come is $20 for attendees to come. You get to sample a whole bunch of samples. Now the samples may be different from their competition dish because they're fixing 150 of them.
Right.
But some of them may do the same, it's all in good fun, and it's to raise money for the chamber, the Coastal Chamber's education fund. So it's for a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have some tents out there and some opportunities to get out of the heat because it is still August. But it's the last weekend before SEC football kicks off. So we wanted to do this as a tailgate challenge. Get everybody out there practicing what you're going to be cooking during your tailgate event when you get to the game time. So it should be. And this is our third annual, so we're excited about that. So
how about
another?
Yeah.
I got another event that we're doing Sunday that I'm excited to talk to you about after the fact. We've got a private party that we're planning with the folks at El Delicio, the new Mexican place that took over El Papi's. So I've got a little private party that we're putting together there, and they're excited about hosting us. It's going to be a fun event. So I went by there yesterday and had a nice Mexican omelet for breakfast, and it's going to be an interesting event. So I look forward to telling you about that.
And now he's at the beach.
Tough life.
Yeah. Well.
Next time you talk to Mike at World Food Championship, suggest a tailgating category.
All right, we'll do. We got live fire. We got some other stuff. Mm-hmm. Tailgating might be a good distinction because there's only some certain things you can do.
Right.
You know, there's some limits to how you do a tailgating event. So
yeah, you're not going to do a lasagna at a tailgating event.
No.
Unless it's my Creole seafood lasagna.
Well, there you go. That sounds good. That sounds interesting. All right. Well, I got to go cool off because it is hot here at the beach.
Well, I bet another beer would help with that.
I think so. That's a good suggestion. That's what I like about you. You come up with some good suggestions every now and then. So.
Every now and then, yeah.
All right, Danny, we appreciate all the information on the events coming up, Danny.
You can go to alabamacoasting.com is the best place, or they can send me an email at danny@alabamacoasting.com. .com is my email address as well. So either of those work. That's the best place. So, all right, my friends. Talk to you soon.
All right, Danny. Have a good day, man.
Stay out of trouble.
Nah. On another note, move on. That sounds like a lot of good stuff coming up. And I love when the fall gets here. But we want to say, give our condolences to Richie Gambino, owner of Pizzeria Delfina downtown Mobile. He's been a staple. He's part of the Gambino family. He lost his daughter this past week, last week actually, and it's just so sad. Yeah, lost her Thursday actually. Yeah. Yeah, lost her on Thursday.
Yeah, made a post on Facebook.
Yeah, and it's just so sad. He texted me and said, "Mike, I hate to say, but I'm in the same club you're in now. You know, and I just lost my daughter to breast cancer and." So we want to offer our condolences, sincere condolences to Richie and the Gambino family. And y'all do keep them in your prayer. I didn't realize, but they've been doing some fundraising at the restaurant in Fairhope to try to raise money for her treatment and all that. 28 years old. That's just too young. Any age, too. You should not have to bury your kids. Yeah. And I feel strongly about that. But our condolences and love and prayer goes out to Richie and the whole Gambino family and her mother and the rest. So, you know, please think of them.
Absolutely.
When we come back, we're supposed to have Chase Yamagata. He's going to talk about something he put together last year, and it was very successful. Did it again this year, Baldwin County Bake Off.
Mike was there,
a lot of amateurs.
He ate everything.
I got a little bit of everything I could do. I did the best I could do.
He's still only on the sugar crash right now.
I'm only one man, and I can only do so much. But we had a good time yesterday, had a great turnout. Oh, some delicious baked goods. But I'm going to have to tell you, I'll tell you my favorites when we get back.
Yeah.
Chase is going to.
Was that nobody, at the VFW in Fairhope?
Mm-hmm.
Great, that's such a great venue.
It is. It's right there by the brewery, by Fairhope Brewery.
Now, that's a beach I like.
There you go.
251-343-0106.
Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't smoke, I don't chew, smack, but I got a spicy monkey riding on my back. Don't eat pancakes, too much sugar and donuts. I will pay for gumbo. I will pay for gumbo.
Yes, I will play for gumbo. Over a decade. We've been on the air for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
I feel old, man.
You are.
Well, yeah.
I know this because I am old, and you are older than I am.
That's true. That's not a lie. But somebody is younger than us, and that's that Chase Yamagata.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of energy in him because he is young.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what, Chase, we got him on air. I was texting with him this morning. I said, and then I got smart about it. I said, I wanted a whole list of all the winners from yesterday, and I'll let him tell you about the event. And I said, why don't I just get him on the air?
Yeah, and then we can nap.
Yeah, we can snooze a little bit because we're old.
Yeah.
We're over a decade
Chase,
old.
Chase, you got to know, this sugar crash that he is on right now is unbelievable.
I feel all hopped up right now.
Well, I'm full. After the bake-off, I got invited by Orlando Amaro. He was one of the head judges.
Mm-hmm.
To Plain and Level to have dinner, so you can't turn that down.
Oh, he didn't invite me
last night.
He knows better.
He didn't invite me.
He knows better.
You left. You should have stuck around longer.
He was him and I were talking and stuff.
Has he met you before?
Yeah, I met him.
That's why.
But anyway, so Chase, tell everybody what we did yesterday, man.
Yeah, yesterday was the second annual Baldwin County Bake Off. It's just a fun community event that I put on through. It's mainly participants from our group that, Mike, I know you're one of the top contributors. Yeah, we started off as the Baldwin County Foodies, but I felt like that wasn't giving Mobile enough credit because there's a lot of great restaurants in Mobile, a lot of diverse restaurants. Stu, you know that.
Oh, yeah.
So we changed the name to South Alabama Foodies towards the end of last year. So, yeah, this year was the second year of the bake-off. We had 9 different categories, about 50 different entries. Last year we had some complaints because some of the contestants wanted more professional judges. So we actually got 9 different local, mostly restaurants, some bakeries to get involved also, and they had head judges come over from their restaurants, some very talented people who were the head judges. And they also donated prizes to the event too. So it was a lot of fun.
I had a blast.
And, you know, Stu, where were you, Stu?
Working. Somebody's got to pay the bills around this joint.
So,
yeah.
Well, you got to come out.
Chase, in this industry, Fridays and Saturdays are a little busy.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. So before I got on the air, I heard you talking about a tailgate cook-off. That's actually something that we were thinking about doing at the VFW probably the week before Super Bowl weekend in January or February, whenever it falls. and we're going to do tailgate categories. That would be an upcoming event that we're thinking about doing with the VFW involved.
If it don't snow.
Even if it does snow.
Yeah.
Man, but, I barbecued for a Super Bowl party up in Nashville one time, and I was out in the garage while everybody else was warm inside in 6 inches of snow doing all the barbecue.
Yeah, so it's doable.
Yeah.
But going back to the bake-off yesterday, I was really thrilled to see the number of participants. The diversity of the different food items yesterday that people brought. But what blew me away, you know, I love Shannon's strawberry cupcake. That thing was delicious. And we got some characters out here right now.
Phil, you have visitors. So,
but anyway, the homemade biscuit at the end, the biscuit with the homemade jelly on it.
I didn't get to try that one.
Let me tell you what. After all that sweetened sugar we were eating all day long, and then to get into that biscuit, that was...
So that biscuit was actually the winner. It won the wild card category.
Well, it was not sweet. You know, so you had the strawberry, homemade strawberry preserve on it, but because it was totally different than anything else that was there, it won my heart. But I was really into that chocolate cake. That wedge of chocolate, looked like just pure chocolate bar, you know, wedge of pure chocolate bar. And that thing was so good it needed like a Cabernet or Old Vine Zinfandel with it. Really did.
Or a glass of whole milk.
I'm not a milk guy, so.
Really, no, they were. I felt like the desserts this year were even better than last year. I felt like everybody stepped it up.
I think so. I think
a lot of them were more balanced. Not a lot of sweet dishes. I felt like.
Mm-hmm.
I like it this year where they actually had the way we had it set up. So people, obviously this is radio, so we can't show pictures, but we had a stage up top where there's five judges sitting, and we had extra forks, which is perfect for me. So I'd go on stage and talk to the judges, see how it's going, and they tell me, you got to try this cake or this brownie. So I'd actually grab a fork that we had and try a piece, and everything was excellent. I don't think anything that was bad.
Mm-hmm. You know what I did not get to try was the cinnamon rolls.
They didn't have any chili though.
Annette Coates won the cinnamon rolls. She owns a company called Coated with Love.
Mm-hmm.
She mostly does cheesecakes. She doesn't even sell cinnamon rolls, and I think she's going to put that on she's probably going to put that onto her website now, because everybody who tried it said it was amazing. I didn't get to try any cinnamon rolls also yesterday.
I didn't taste. I hate I didn't, because I when I saw the cinnamon rolls, I said I'm gonna try these, and I never did.
I heard cinnamon rolls and coleslaw. Is that what you said?
No coleslaw.
Oh, I was gonna say, holy, what did I hear? Because I was thinking, wow, what a mix. I thought the chili and cinnamon rolls was odd, but never mind.
Okay. I'm gonna redeem myself.
I'm gonna go
with
back
into
the corner over here. Sorry.
I'm gonna redeem myself one day with that. Cinnamon roll and chili.
I think Steve's flashing back to a Cheech and Chong movie or something.
maybe in the gummies.
It is the bake-off, so, Yeah. We wanted to take the bake-off.
It was one too many gummies.
But that's what it was. But, I guess when you say a bake-off, so many people think of cakes and pies. But that's what blew me away about the biscuit. And it was different than anything else there. And it was delicious. It was fluffy.
I bet you could have won by simply taking bacon and cooking it in the oven and then just presenting bacon. Bacon, baked bacon.
Maybe in the biscuit.
Yeah. The bacon was still baked. That's why it's called bacon, Mike.
Oh.
And Mike, I wanted to thank you also. I think this is why Mike wanted me on, because Mike actually did a great job. He was one of our appointed judges. We had head judges. And we also had appointed judges who were either value. So Mike actually was on for two reasons. He was an appointed judge. First of all, he's one of the top members in our group. He's always contributing. He's posting every day. But also, Bay Paper, the company he works for, they supplied all of our plates, napkins, forks. So thank you, Mike, for all of that help.
You're welcome. You're very welcome with that.
Anytime. So it's not one of these events you just walk up to and say, I'll be a judge.
See, what happened last year, Steve, is we started running out of stuff. So I had to run to Winn-Dixie to get some more plates and stuff. And I said, and I looked at Chase last year. I go, you know, I sell this stuff.
So I called him early on. I took advantage of that. I said, hey, Mike, I know you mentioned it last year. So, yeah, he came through.
I left everything else for
now they say you can't buy your way in as a judge. That sounded like you bought your way in. I'm just saying.
If you don't think we can't buy our way as a judge, have you looked at the Supreme Court in any state?
Wow, he had to go there, didn't he?
Yeah, any state. I'm not specifying anyone in particular. Just every single state.
I hugged Carrie a couple times because she, you know, loaning that place out like that, letting everybody use that place, that building, the VFW building, and they're wanting to do more events there all the time. She said,
Carrie Lambert is her last name.
Yeah,
she's a great person. They do. I know we got Thanksgiving coming up. They give out, I think they gave out about 300 free meals last year for Thanksgiving. So they're always doing great things there. And I think not a lot of people know that the VFW is there for some reason. They always get it confused with the American Legion. So whenever I'm doing events at the VFW, I have to specify that it's not the VFW that's down there on South Mobile Street in Fairhope, you know, on the bay.
Yeah.
So they're doing a lot of things. And she has made that venue open for whatever I want to do, basically. She'll host events. We've also talked about doing it, which I think would be a lot of fun, a Thanksgiving side competition. We're not going to do any main dishes, but we're going to just focus on the dressing and the other, you know, whatever you might do at Thanksgiving on those side dishes. Because everybody, whenever I post it in the group, people are always saying, I make the best dressing or I make the best cornbread or whatever.
Ooh, I want to be a judge for that.
Now we can kind of see, we can see who can really throw down.
I want to be a judge for that. I love cornbread dressing, but
Chase, let me ask you while we're on the subject. There's this big divide in this country. I think it's insane to not have mac and cheese at Thanksgiving, but there are people who think that it's not. I've never seen any family that didn't have mac and cheese at Thanksgiving. But supposedly there are people that don't. Where do you stand on that? What's Hawaii's stance on mac and cheese at Thanksgiving?
I'm trying to think back. I definitely had mac and cheese on Thanksgiving. I don't think mac and cheese is necessarily a Thanksgiving staple, but I'm always, if it's good, I want it on my plate, right? So I don't care if it's I don't care what you serve for me on Thanksgiving. If it's good, I'm going to eat it. And I've had some great – I like baked mac and cheeses. I think mac and cheese is delicious. I don't see why not. Why not? I mean, if it's – What are you? So who's Mike's number one who doesn't want mac and cheese for Thanksgiving?
I'm just not a mac and cheese fan.
He doesn't like mac and cheese.
I grew up with it. I had to eat it every night.
And it wasn't even good mac and cheese.
It was in a box.
Yeah.
Blue and yellow box.
But I see it every year on Twitter. There's this huge debate as to whether mac and cheese belongs at Thanksgiving dinner. Well, if you want to get down to the brass tacks, nothing on your table belongs at Thanksgiving dinner. You need some lobster. You need some oysters. You need some duck. You don't need a turkey. You don't need dressing. Because they didn't have any of that the first Thanksgiving.
Hey Chase, real quick, your buddy there that runs the restaurant there at the VFW. Let's give him a shout out because he's got some great food. The guy.
Oh yeah, Aloha Made Barbecue.
Yeah.
I forget how you pronounce his last name. He's from Hawaii, just like I am. Yeah, they're putting out great food and big plates. So
you can
go there and get lunch, and you got dinner for that same night. And depending on how much you eat, you might have lunch the next day also. But they're doing it, and it's traditional, authentic Hawaiian style food. So that's Hawaiian. I say so. There's. I don't want to get into that whole topic, but there's local Hawaiian food, and there's traditional Hawaiian food, which poi would be.
Mm-hmm.
He's making more of that local style food, where it's more of the blending of cultures. So with the Asian influence in there, with the kalbi ribs, which is Korean barbecue, and macaroni salad, which is more Americanized, Right. But in Hawaii, there's two types of food. There's local food. And there's Hawaiian food, which is the poi. And then the local food is more the blending of cultures.
Yeah.
Fusion.
Yeah. Well, Chase, thank you for coming on, and thanks for doing such a great job as you did the last 2 years with this event and all the other things you do for the foodies of this area. So, man, have a great
day.
You're
welcome. Yeah. Thank you.
And Stu, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Well, that's us, Michael.
It is. So
you're finishing off that game of Angry Birds, are you?
Yeah, that's what I know. I got my own Angry Birds to deal with. Hey, listen, there's some auto guy. Is this like an automobile guy or
no? Otto, you're on.
What did we do wrong, Otto?
Oh, I thought this guy was calling about my car.
Otto, O-T-T-O.
Oh, Otto. Okay, I get it now. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thank you. Hey, you guys were earlier, I caught the tail end of it. Y'all were talking about some sandwich competition. And I thought to myself, the guy in Robertsdale that has the little stand that does the
Reds. Yeah.
Hey, someone should convince him to enter that. I swear he'd win the first place.
Well, he does an Alberta sausage, not just plain old hot dogs, but he does an Alberta sausage dog. He does a knockwurst, I believe.
Love knockwurst.
Yeah,
and it's a great dog.
And it awesome. Does. It does. And there's one other I think that he does and that aren't just hot dogs. You know, there's something they're bigger, they're rounder, they're meatier, they're juicier. And he's always got a line and he's been there for years, decades. He's been there longer than we've been on the air here.
Hey, and the relish or whatever he uses on top is so good.
That's what I hear and I still haven't tried that yet.
Hey, someone should convince him. If I knew him, I would, but convince him to enter into that competition because I
stop in there every now and then, and I keep forgetting about the relish. Keep forgetting about it.
It's so good.
If I go by there tomorrow,
is it a pickle relish or a pepper relish?
Well, it's kind of a both, actually. It's different. It's unique.
So I'm a big relish fan, with the exception of sweet pickle relish, which serves no purpose.
No, I don't even like sweet pickle relish.
Go back to Kansas, Steve.
Even in my potato salad, I want dill relish.
Yes, exactly. I don't want anything sweet in potato salad.
No.
It's potatoes. No,
yeah, I agree
with
that.
That's right.
Now, maybe if you made a sweet potato salad, I would try it.
I'm not big on sweet potatoes, but that's okay. Everybody's got their preferences.
Yeah. They are extremely healthy.
Oh, well, sure, but I don't eat healthy stuff. I eat pork.
even with all that butter and cinnamon and
a lot of times I'll eat a baked sweet potato with nothing
and brown sugar in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still like little medallions.
I'm not a real healthy eater, but that's okay. I'm almost 59 and I've made it this far. I'll make it a little longer.
You're almost how old?
69.
Okay. All right. So you're my age.
Yeah. Just a couple of years younger than Mike.
There you go.
God.
Hey, you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Otto. Appreciate
you, Otto. Yeah, so this red sounds like a find. Is that what
you're hitting? Red's great. I love it. He's been there for a long time. And same spot. The parking lot's got big old holes in it and full of water. You just come in the parking lot and you swish back and forth.
Where is this?
It's in Robertsdale, right next to Wendy's, I think. The Wendy's there. And right across from the Greer's there. And he's got his red wagon out there. And he started out on the back of a pickup truck, and now he's he started out tailgating, and now he's got the big trailer, and he's got people inside working for him, and they stay busy, and he's got napkins and bags.
Oh, good, he's got napkins. Oh, good.
Well, you're gonna need a napkins, that's for sure.
The you mean best he's got food his own is, napkins. Yeah, okay.
The best food is food you wear.
There you go.
Think about it. You eat a barbecue rib.
Unless I gotta get somewhere.
Rib on your
Unless
face.
I got
well,
somewhere.
You got a sleeve for that. You got to wear long sleeves for that. That's the whole idea.
That's why they invented long sleeves.
There you go.
I never saw a purpose for them living on the Gulf Coast.
Every time I hear that Christmas song, Green Sleeves, I'm thinking, nope, that's not what I'm. That's what I'm not supposed
I've
to be.
I've never
thinking.
Heard of that song.
Oh my gosh!
The second oldest song in human history.
Green Sleeves.
What child is this? The Christmas Carol, the oldest Christmas.
I never
Carol
heard that verse.
Now you'll know it's you'll hear it. And you'll go.
Now we listening to it. Listen out for it.
Heck, they played that on My Three Sons when Chip had his band.
Wow! Now you are a super fan that has gone over the top.
I remember it because Chip had a Beatles like band, and yeah. This guy moved to town who was from England and played guitar. And like, he's English and he plays guitar. We got to have him in the band. He played classical guitar, and he's like, Daddy's terrible. No, he's not. And so the dude was playing Green Sleeves on classical guitar, and they put a rhythm section behind it.
Same thing they do now.
Yeah.
When we leave here, I'm going to get on.
You're going to kick yourself when you hear
it.
I'm
YouTube.
Telling you, man, this is the second oldest melody known to Western music. Right behind
Did they ever have a video Mary on King's MTV?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Mike, every singer you've ever heard in your life has recorded a cover of this song on their Christmas album.
Okay. And it's called Greensleeve?
Yes. It's bigger than White Christmas. It's bigger than Silent Night.
Nah, it's not bigger than White Christmas.
Yes, it is.
That was the most sold record in history.
Yeah. Yeah. All but it also came along 800 years after Greensleeves. I mean, this song is really old.
Oh, well.
By the way, I know this because I took music literature and music history.
I was going to say, I know you got a musical history background. So
yeah. I believe the oldest melody is Mary Kings of Windsor or Mary Men of Windsor, which is most schools' alma mater.
I never heard Casey Kasem say anything about Greensleeve.
It's older than Casey Kasem. It's older than you. That's how
culture
old this
shock.
Song is.
Culture shock.
Lord, I'm getting on you.
He's really Mike here, man.
Steve, you know, as soon as he hears it, he's going to be like, oh.
Duh.
Yeah.
It's okay, Mike. You can wake up in about 2 minutes.
It's probably one of them songs that you think it's this named this, but it's actually named that.
Well, it does have two different names. There's a more Christmassy version called What Child Is This?
Oh, I know that song.
Yeah, that's Greensleeves.
Yeah.
That's Greensleeves.
What does Green Sleeves have to do with it?
The original version was Green Sleeves, da da da. I don't know the rest of the words. You know, because what child is this?
It was a joke, Mike. That's the only one.
He still got COVID head, y'all.
Bad. Bad.
He's got such a bad case of COVID head that it developed 10 years before COVID was invented.
Hey, Otto, if you're still listening, yes, let's. Thanks for that suggestion.
Get the
Reds
relish.
Hot dogs, the bomb. You'll love them. Get out there, support
Are
local.
Are they local?
Be local? They're very local.
Support them.
But I don't think they have any
provolone
on their dogs.